Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter number 4. We read last week in verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly now that now at the last your care of me have flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. I guess that's 2 weeks ago, huh? Y'all didn't even know that. Huh? I wasn't here last week, and I said last week, and you didn't even stop me. You didn't miss me. Just added 30 more minutes to the message. I'm just kidding. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have, talk to me, for I have, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. How much have you learned in the last 2 weeks? Now notice verse number 11, I have learned. Verse number 12, I know. I know how to be abased. Do you? I know how to abound. Some of you going, I sure would like to. Next two words. Oh, wow, what a strong statement. Everywhere. And in all things, I am. How many believe that all the words of the Bible were inspired? All right, so don't gloss over them. Everywhere, all things, instructed. What situation did you encounter this week where you refused to be instructed? Well, I didn't like it, so I couldn't learn anything. You can learn a lot in situations you don't like. Everywhere, in all things, I'm instructed. No matter what stage you're in your Christian life, you must, should, and can always be a student. Learning. Everywhere, in all things, instructed. Both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. Next two words, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also at the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye also, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again under my necessity. Not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Let the church say amen. Our Father, we ask that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Would you cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We spent several weeks in the first 9 verses of this chapter dealing with the power of correct thinking. I'll not re-preach that, but suffice it to say, we have all learned by personal experience that living right in the Christian life has a lot to do with thinking right in the Christian life. And we've got to determine to get our minds right if we're going to get our lives right. We've got to win the battle in our minds. That is the battleground. That is where the devil seeks to defeat us. And if we can beat him here, we can go out in this world and live for God out there. The power of correct thinking. He says, you're going to do right if you think right. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 for proof text. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What good Christians we could be if our minds would be filled with the truth of the word of God. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue and there is, if there be any praise and there is, think on these things. Listen to me. You can activate your mind to think the right way if you'd fill it with the right things and if you'd fill it right so that you thought right, bless God, you can live right. The power of correct thinking. We continue. Into verse number 10, we're dealing with the power of consistent thanksgiving. Now the theme of Philippians is joy. It is written from a man that's in jail. Amen. And he would not allow his circumstances to determine his joy. And you don't have to allow yours to either. Correct thinking consistent thanksgiving. I rejoice. Notice his grateful condition. I rejoice. I launched a celebration from prison. I launched it. Now listen to me now. The only thing stopping you from launching a celebration about Almighty God is you. Well, we didn't have a party because nobody threw one. Why don't you throw one? Amen. Well, it's not a special occasion. You woke up this morning. Amen. You're still alive. You have brand new mercy. Listen, I'm in a rough situation. God's still good. Now, he said, I rejoice greatly. I launch a celebration. Listen, beloved, I'm still in this prison cell, but I made up my mind I'm going to launch a celebration about your loving contribution. Listen, he said, your care of me have flourished again, wherein you were careful, but you also lacked opportunity. In other words, you helped me in your contribution, and you didn't help me before you helped me because you lacked a chance. In other words, he began to realize as a believer to be thankful for the people that had helped him, but understanding of those same people when they couldn't. Now we struggle with that a little bit because we think everybody should help us when we want it. Now isn't it amazing how many people can approach you desperate? I mean, just a kind, just a sweet, just a loving, just as buttery. I need something. Isn't it amazing? You ever got a call from somebody that was saying, hi, we're glad to talk to you. Just wondering if you'd perhaps like to give towards this. They're just the nicest people in all the world. And then you say no, and they go off on you. You ever had somebody just butter you up and tell you how much they love you and appreciate you? And if there's any way, listen, don't you feel obligated now. If there's any way you could help me out with this, it sure would be a blessing. And then you say, I'm not able to do it. And first thing, oh, I see how you are. You don't have to worry about me ever asking you. Wait a minute now. Paul said you helped me, and you would have helped me sooner if you could. Stop making yourself think that people don't help you because they don't want to help you. Some people don't help you because they can't help you. And when they can, they will. And if they can and they won't, you don't need their help anyway. God will send the right people to help you that are available to help you when you need it and when they can. And this is what Paul said. You help me when you can. You would have done it sooner, but you couldn't. And I'm okay with that. I'm thankful for the blessings of God whenever they come. And then he dealt with godly contentment. Not that I speak in respect of want. For I have learned. In other words, I'm glad you helped me, but I wasn't begging for it because I've learned some things. I've learned that contentment doesn't come from what I ask people for. Contentment comes from what God gives me. And I have learned spiritual learning. I have learned. That means it doesn't come natural. I've gone to school for this thing. In other words, I've been studious about this thing. I've let God acclimate me about this thing. God is working on me about this thing. I've had some spiritual learning, but I've also had some serious lessons. He says, I've learned to be content. I've learned, in other words, come to learn so well what I've been taught that it changes the way I live. Now, you can say you are content, but if your life does not demonstrate contentment, you ain't telling the truth. Serious lessons. What lessons, Paul? Well, some lessons about abased burdens. I've been abased. I mean, I've been lowered. I've been exposed to adverse conditions. How about this? I've gone through valleys. I've faced trials. Now notice what Paul said. I know how to be abased. Now listen to me. There's not a person in this building that will never be abased. Listen, you can't, listen, you could do right every single day. You're going to still have moments in your life where you are abased, where you go through trials. The problem is not that Christians are abased. It's that they don't know how to be abased. Paul, what does godly contentment teach you? How to be abased. Every believer goes through trials. Paul said to Timothy, yea, all that will live godly will suffer persecution. Now listen to me. One of the biggest struggles in the Christian life is how to keep his composure when he goes through tough times. Sometimes people say bye-bye to God when God doesn't do for them what he wants, what they want him to do. But Paul said, I've learned, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I deal with abased burdens and I deal with abounding blessings. But in every situation, I've learned now, he says, I in all things everywhere am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Listen to me, Christian. You are not the teacher. You are not in charge. I do not call the shots. I've got to learn wherever I am, whatever I'm facing, whatever I'm going through, God is instructing me to be on the top, to be on the bottom, ever in between, and still be content. Oh, we need help with this, don't we? Come on. Raise your hand tonight if you say, Pastor, there are things in my life, if I could change them, I'd change them. Now, raise your hand if you've come to realize some of them you cannot change. Now, what are you going to be content about? Huh? Now, you live where you live. Now, maybe you can change that if you can. Now, listen, if it is within your power, if God's given you, it is God which gives you the power to get wealth, Deuteronomy said. Now, if God, if you need something to happen and God give you 2 feet and time and a job and go to work and you don't go to work, you don't need to be content because you are content being lazy. But if you've done all you can under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God and God said live there, then be content. And by the way, you go get more when you don't think you have enough. You won't be content then either. Amen. Contentment comes from knowing that God's in control. He knows what I need. He knows what I face. He knows what I'm going through. He said, I've learned it. And you look at the illustrious circumstances that Paul went through. I mean, Paul knew what it was to march into town and have a gospel quake erupt. And all of a sudden, people got saved and they embraced him and they loved him. And he knew what it was to do the same thing in another town. And the religious leaders grabbed a hold of him and beat him unlawfully with stripes and threw him into the deepest prison. Paul knew what it was to be hugged and kissed because those at Ephesus were sad, if you would, and those others when he was leaving said, we don't want you to go. They wept because they were so sad he was leaving. The Galatians were willing to pluck out their own eyes for the Apostle Paul, but he also knew what it was to be betrayed and to be turned on and to be laughed at. He knew what it was to be applauded for his preaching, but other times he was threatened for his preaching. Paul said, I've been up top and I've been down low, but through it all, I've come to realize God was in control. And I'm learning. When did you take off your learning hat? You know the problem with most Christians? They already graduated. And they think school's over. It ain't over till Jesus comes. Are you learning? Are you teachable? Are you teachable? Now we live in a day and age of a popular movement of spiritual knuckleheads. Huh? We think we know it all. Especially when we have some successes in the rearview mirror. Come on. I mean, we start feeling good about ourselves. I mean, I done something for the Lord, and I've led some people to the Lord, and I've served in some ministries, and I have some people that admire me, and I have some leadership opportunities. And by the way, my job is to tell other people what to do and to teach other people. And by the way, we ought to be teaching other people, but it is possible to be a teacher and a student at the same time. Have learned. If there was anybody that had arrived at the status of learned, it was Paul. Paul was viewed, and by the way, before Paul ever got saved, he was a learned man, trained at the feet of Gamaliel, a Pharisee of Pharisees. He spoke many languages. He was the most promising protege in Judaism. They believe when he got saved, he was in his early 30s, and they were about ready to hand over the reins of Jewish religion to this skilled, trained, intellectual man. And then after that, he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and he got saved. That'd be a good place to say amen. man. He got saved by the grace of God in Christ. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He got in the fast lane, started growing, started going, started glowing, started preaching, started teaching, and went into town after town, conversation after conversation, synagogue after synagogue, culture after culture, religious crowd after religious crowd, mentoring people, preaching the gospel, telling people what was right, sharing the word of God, starting churches, reaching unknown people. I'm telling you, if anybody qualified as a learned individual, Paul said, that's me. He said, but while I am learned, I am learning. We got too many learneds and not enough learners. What did you learn this week while you were teaching somebody? You ever learn anything from your kids? No, I'm the parent. Yeah, that's why. Amen. You can learn something from your children and from your circumstances. Everywhere I'm learning. By the way, sometimes the biggest lesson we ever learn in tough situations is what not to do. So while you're just blowing smoke out your ears and just complaining, to God, I just don't make no sense that people doing all this. No, take your notes out and say, I'm learning so that when I get in this situation, I ain't going to do like he did. Come on, because you know what I found out? People that spend all their time griping about other people's wrongs get in the same predicament and do the same thing. And you're going to find yourself in a valley 6 months from now. And everything you criticize somebody for doing, you're going to do with more knowledge and you're going to do it worse. Because you refuse to be instructed. God help us. Missing in the body of Christ today. Grateful conditions and godly contentment. Can I give you one more thought tonight and I'll let you go? He moved from this point in the text to what I call glorious confidence. Paul, tell us about Thanksgiving. Well, I've learned to tell people that have been a blessing to me, not just thank you for what you did, but I've learned to let them hear me tell God, thank you for what he did. Do people get around you and love God more because they love hearing you thank him? And then I've learned contentment. He said, but I'm going to tell you what Thanksgiving has done for me. It's building up my confidence. I call glorious confidence. You know why I call it glorious confidence? Because it's confidence that comes from God. You know, listen. There's a fine line between glorious confidence and gloating cockiness. Now watch this, a fine line. And Pastor, why are you saying that? Because I don't want some cocky people to leave here thinking that I'm telling them that they're right to be cocky and not realizing that there's a difference between being cocky and being confident. Now wait a minute now. You got to start where Paul started, with a grateful condition. You got to continue where Paul continued, with godly commitment, if you're going to arrive at glorious confidence. Now listen to a man talk where we can listen to others talk the same way and we go, some nerve. I can. Who you think you are? Sound a little bit like chauvinistic talk, doesn't it? I mean, a man walks around telling everybody, I can. I can. Put his chest out. Yes, I can. Anything you say, I can do it. Well, you got to be careful about that, right? Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. But I'm telling you, this confidence that Paul got, he didn't get from humanism. He didn't get from self-promotion. He didn't get from security that came from some motivational speaking. He got it from Almighty God. Listen to him as he begins with unquestionable possibility. He said, I can. Now listen to me. You say, Pastor, what's the big deal about glorious confidence? I'll tell you why. There are Christian people who are serving God every day with the Holy Ghost living inside of them, with the Bible teaching them every day, with God up in heaven being their Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ being their advocate. And yet I run into Christians who make it their common practice every single day to say, I can't, I can't, I can't be a soul winner, I can't be a giver, I can't be faithful to my wife, I can't pray every day, I can't do what's right. I'm telling you, that is not the language of a child of God walking with God. I can. When I'm right with God, listen to me, the possibilities are unquestionable. Amen. But wait a minute now. He not only had unquestionable possibilities, but he had unlimited potential. Listen to the statement. I can. Next three words. Come on. Do all things. Now, somebody here is going to look at this verse and go, you know, that's kind of general. Paul just saying, you know, I can do all things. And some of you are going, I've quoted that a whole bunch of times. Matter of fact, some of you are going, okay. I'm going to go up to the top of this building after service. I'm going to get to the edge of the roof. I'm going to look down. I'm going to jump. When I jump, I'm going to flap my hands. And according to Philippians 4:13, watch this now, I can fly. And some of you are going, I know this is a good verse in the Bible, but I've quoted it. And while I was quoting it, I failed at doing what I was trying to do. Can I tell you why? I'll tell you why you failed. Because before you came up with the thing you wanted to do, you didn't think on whatsoever things are true and honest and just and lovely and pure and of good report. Before you started saying there were some things you wanted to do, you know what you didn't do? You didn't learn in whatsoever state to be therewith to be content. I'll tell you why there are Christian people that have tried to do things that they can't do, and they blame God on not keeping his promise. The stuff you tried to do, you wouldn't have ever tried to do it if you were content in what God has given you. Listen to me, when you walk with God, he not only gives you the ability to do all things, but he gives you the all things that you want to do. When carnal people want to do stuff they're not supposed to do and want to blame God for not keeping his promise in Philippians 4:13, that's the problem with a lot of churches dealing with pastors that jump into the Bible, take one verse out of the Bible, out of context, preach it, and pump people up into believing you can name and claim anything. Just tell God what you want to do. You drove past that house on the road, that's your dream house. You go out, get out your car, you get in that yard, and you walk around that house, and the next day, somebody gonna call you and tell you, this house is yours. That may sound good on TBN, but the fact of the matter is, you don't make enough to live there. And if you quit trying to live outside your means, you quit trying to listen to a preacher that's going to tell you you can have what God don't want you to have. Preach, Pastor. See, if you skip contentment, forget about confidence. I'm talking about glorious confidence. And the people of God have bypassed contentment while trying to captivate confidence. And then you got the other Christians. I can't do nothing. Ain't nothing I'm ever do for God. I know I'm getting the ministry because I know if I sign up, I'm not going to be faithful to it. And I'm not going to write nothing on the card for missions because every year I write something and I don't keep it. And I don't want to sign up for a blitz because something's going to come up and I ain't going to be able to make the blitz. And I ain't going to put my name on the ladies' retreat because I already know I'm too broke to go to the ladies' retreat. You've been too broke for 25 years. Why don't you do something different? Amen. Amen. You ain't too broke to get the other stuff you want. Now, there's some things we're too broke to get, but don't you think God's able?
Amen. Isn't it amazing how we find a way to do stuff that brings God no glory, and we think God can't find a way to enable us to do stuff that brings him glory? Come on now. You act like God doesn't know any better. You land on spiritual contentment because you got a condition of gratitude, and you will begin to experience what Paul experienced. Listen to me. He was in prison. If this meant arbitrarily, he could just name anything. You know what he could say? I can get out of prison today. No, he was saying, when I walk with God and God is the leader of my life and the Holy Spirit is directing my thinking, you know what pops in my mind? Spiritual stuff. And when spiritual stuff pops in my mind that brings God glory, God not only gives me the desire to do right, he gives me the ability to do right. Wow, what a blessing. I can. Unquestionable possibilities. Do all things, unlimited potential. Next two words. Through Christ. Wow. Unrivaled person. There's nobody like him. I can do it. Yes, I can. There's nothing that I cannot do. But what I can do without any limit, I can only do through Jesus Christ. God help us. I can do all things through Christ. Let's find out where he's going, please. Some one of you adults, fellas, find out where he's going. Thank you. I can do all things through Christ. So who's your co-signer? By the way, whatever you do in the flesh won't last anyway. Acts chapter 5. Remember they were mad with the apostles because they were doing right? And the folks stood up and said, we need to stop them. And old Gamaliel stood up and said, Hang on, guys. You don't need to stop them. You know, imposters that come along, you don't have to stop them. They won't last. There's a man named Thutis, and he got up, and everybody ran behind him, and sure enough, he fizzled out. There was another man named Judas. He stepped up. Everybody was like, oh, Judas, you the man? He fizzled out too. Look at here, these boys. They claim to be right. You let them last, and I'll show you if they're right. If they're not of God, it will be brought to naught. But if they are, you can't do nothing with it. Now, Pastor, how are people going to know whether or not I'm doing what I can through Christ? If it lasts. I can, unquestionable possibility, do all things, unlimited potential, through Christ. What's that? An unrivaled person. Last three words, and I'm finished. Which? Unleashed power. Here's what I like about Jesus. There's nothing he can't do. Come on now. Did you read chapter 3? That I might know him, the power of his resurrection? You know what we're going to preach about in about 7 days? The tomb is empty. He got up. He got up. Proving to the devil he can do it all. Listen, if all I knew was that the Jesus that saved me could do anything, and there's nothing that he could not do, I'd be excited enough about his power to serve him until I die. But here's the good part. He's got all power in his hand. But when the child of God aligns himself with the lordship of Jesus Christ and the word of God, he takes the power in his hand and unleashes it on me. He strengthens me. Have you ever, and I'm finished, have you ever sensed Jesus himself strengthening you? Listen. I mean, I've been there. I mean, I have been weak and weary. I've been extended beyond what's physically reasonable. I have walked into a building and thought, we haven't even started yet. And I'm already fatigued. And I've got something to say. And I sure would like to get it out in a way that didn't seem meager and less representative of how good it is. And I'm telling you, I have been in services where out of nowhere, Jesus strengthened me. Listen, there was a wave of energy. I don't know where it came from. Listen, I'm not just talking about energy. There was a mental alertness that only God would bring. There was some recollection of information that had not been intensely studied. It had been read, and somehow the Holy Ghost of God allowed me to lasso it in the middle of a fatigue status and bring it into a place where it aligned not only with my message, but with the need of God's people. And then I watched God not only give me the strength to preach, but give me the opportunity to be a blessing. And I got down off the pulpit, and it wasn't long after I got out where I felt like he was gone again. But in that moment, in that hour, at the critical time, Jesus, same man on the cross, same man in the grave, same man that got up, same man at the right hand of the throne of God, took that power, came by my way, and strengthened me.
There been other times I was doing something for me that I wanted to do because I wanted to do it. It was fun. It was delicious. It was entertaining. And I was tired on the way. And I was tired while I was there. And when I finished, I was more tired, realizing I probably should not have gone. And I was reminded, yeah, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But I better make sure those all things are his all things and not mine. Okay. So you go ahead tomorrow and tell everybody all of your seemingly legitimate excuses as to why you can't do more for God, because you don't have the energy and you don't have the wherewithal. And I'm here to tell you, if you'd spend more time with correct thinking, it would push you into consistent thanksgiving. And your mind would start wanting to do things that God wants you to do. And he'll have no choice but to unleash his power to enable you to do all things, because he's the source that made you to want to do those things in the first place. Amen. And thank the Lord that grateful conditions bring about godly contentment that result in glorious confidence. How you living? You lacking spiritual confidence? Remember where your source is and determine by the grace of God. I'm going to let you give me what to want, and I'm going to let you give me the power to get it done. What a mighty God we serve. Father, thank you. Thank you for strengthening us. Now, there are people of God right now that need strength. They need it. They need it for the road ahead. They need it for endeavors of this week. They need it for their marriage. They need it for their ministry. Give us what we need. You're able. In Jesus' name, amen.